Hi, I'm Carol Sliwa, a senior writer for TechTarget's Storage Sites. Joining me today is Mark Stamer. Mark is president of Dragon Slayer Consulting in Beaverton, Oregon. He will be speaking with us about erasure coding. Mark, what do you see as the main upside and the main downside of erasure coding?
Erasure coding provides much better data resilience, much better data durability or persistence, meaning it can last a much longer period of time, in spite of the media that it's being written on. Media wasn't designed to last a long time. Erasure codes makes it last a long time. It does this by using a lot less physical storage or storage nodes or storage systems and supporting infrastructure. So it does it all at a much lower price. And it does it with a lot less management because you have a lot less things you have to manage. So that's a much better upside. The downside is much higher latency. Anytime you're adding processing, which is what you're doing, because you get to process a lot of different chunks versus just read it all as one sequential data chunk or datagram, you're going to add latency. And when you have latency, that affects response time. And then you can especially get high latency if you distribute this geographically or over a lot of different systems. So generally speaking, the upside is less hardware, less software, lower cost, higher durability, higher persistence. The downside is poorer response time and higher latency.
Can erasure coding eliminate the need for backups?
It's an interesting question. If it's your primary data versus secondary data, the answer is no. But what most people will look at as erasure code storage, which is primarily today object storage, is that's a target for backups. It's a target for older data, secondary data, archive data. So candidly, it's a copy of the data anyway. So if you're using it in that methodology, you're not exactly going to be backing that up anyway. But if you're trying to use it for your primary data, which from a performance point of view, there aren't very many that can do that in a very highly performant manner, but let's say you are, then it doesn't eliminate backups for the following reason, because it's not going to protect you against malware. It's not going to protect you against the malicious employee. It's not going to protect you against accidental deletions or human error. What it's going to protect you against is hardware failures. It's going to protect you against bit rot. It's going to protect you against silent data corruption, which makes it an ideal choice for secondary data or passive data.
What's the minimum threshold of data at which an IT shop should consider erasure coding?
Well, it's not a minimum threshold. What it comes down to is data resilience and durability. How important is this data to you to last for a long period of time? If you're talking decades or centuries even, you're really looking at erasure coding as the only methodology that's going to provide you with some level of guarantee that that data is still readable in 30, 40, 50, 100 years. So it's the value of being able to read that data down the road. The second aspect is being able to make sure, for compliance reasons, that that data is always readable. I'll give you an example. HIPAA High Tech. In the HIPAA High Tech rules, you must always have a copy of your data that is readable. Well, you put it on storage that has erasure codes, you have a copy of your data that's readable, even if it's 20 years from now. So it makes important sense to look at the value of the data or what you need to do with the data more than the size of the data. In reality, from a size perspective, if you want any kind of resilience, you're going to find RAID is not going to be the way to go going down the path. And multi-copy mirroring is just way too expensive when you're talking petabytes of data. So you can start thinking about it in the hundreds of terabytes, but once you get to a petabyte, you should definitely be thinking about it. And once you get into the exascale range, you have to have something with erasure coding.
How does an end user go about making the decision of how much erasure coding to do?
What you're talking about is concept of breadth and width. How many chunks are you going to break it up into? And how many chunks do you need to read to reconstruct the data? In general, the more chunks you need to read to reconstruct the data out of the breadth, the less resilient it is. So for example, let's say you're doing a 16 by 10. You need to read 10 of the 16 chunks. In other words, breadth is 16, 10 is the number of chunks you have to read. Under those circumstances, you can tolerate 6 failures. But let's say you want to do a 16 by 13. Well, you can tolerate 3 failures. So it comes down to how many failures do you want to have tolerance for? The more failures that you have tolerance for, candidly, the more latency you're going to be adding because it's more metadata about all the other chunks on each chunk. So it's a trade-off of resilience versus performance. Some people want belt suspenders and coveralls, so they may be going with 100% overhead. So that, for example, they may have a 30 by 15. So they're breaking up into 30 chunks, and they want to be able to read 15 and get their data. Okay, that's 15 failure rates that they can suffer and still not lose one byte of data. Now, that's kind of a waste. You'd probably be better off going somewhere along the lines of a little bit more tolerance. But again, it depends on your tolerance for risk and how many failures you expect and where that data is written.
What's your vision on how erasure coding will be used in enterprise IT shops in the short term and in the long term?
Short term, it's primarily going to be used for passive data or not active or hot data, not data that's being used by databases or structured applications, where response time is really, really important. Although some of the players are working on making erasure coding faster, for all intents and purposes, you're going to have longer response times. So I don't see it short term beyond passive data. Long term, I do. I see it getting better. I see the latency being managed in silicon or FPGAs. I see the latency algorithms getting faster so that you're not going to have as much latency, and it can replace for active data RAID 5 and RAID 6. But for passive data, it's going to replace RAID, period. You need no RAID if you're using erasure coding because it provides better resilience, better durability than RAID.
Thanks, Mark. That concludes our podcast. We hope you'll check out the additional elements of our multiple-part guide on erasure coding.